Best worst case scenario podcast.
That's what you tell yourself when you go to sleep in your alcoholic bed as you're drinking your wine and your beer and your scotch all at the same time.
Alcoholic bed, what makes it alcoholic, huh?
Because you're in it.
Oh, that's funny. I thought you were going to say there's like vomit stains and piss stains and shit stains all over it.
Well, if you want to volunteer that information, Dana,
no,
you know.
That's what an alcoholic's bed would look like.
You know, I think an alcoholic's bed is a very vague concept. You know, it's just wherever there happens to be flat ground when they pass out. You know what I mean? It's like that could be a back alley.
It's pretty sad.
Could be a hay bale.
I've woken up on the ground before, and yeah. I didn't know how I got there. Kind of supernatural.
There's a place in Utah, northeastern Utah. Some people say they've seen things that no one else has seen before. Beasts, aliens, UFOs, portals to other dimensions, skinwalkers. These things haunt the grounds of Skinwalker Ranch, a 512-acre plot of land located on the Ute area where Utes used to live.
Utes to live.
And the Navajo people are also into that too, because they're the ones who coined the term Skinwalker. This place is such a hotbed of paranormal phenomenon that since 1776, people have been telling stories, spinning tales about this place and about the dark things that happen on this ranch.
Wait, since the country was founded? That's kind of weird.
Yeah, but this place, so famous.
So infamous.
So fucking famous that since 1776, people have been seeing shit and reporting about it, and it's passed like three hands. It's a weird number of hands to have.
Three hands. I think it's been like five hands.
Maybe it's an alien.
If 14 it's three hands. I think it's 14 hands.
Is it?
Like the wine you're drinking.
The cheap ass wine. I'm actually drinking. What am I drinking, Dana? See, this is why you got to do your due diligence.
Your due diligence.
This is why you got to do.
You know who did due diligence?
Yeah, that's right.
You know who did.
You can't
did.
Say it either, can you?
I think I just found a word I can't say, guys. It's due diligence.
I found like five of those.
It's due diligence. There, I said it. I'm okay. They did their due diligence when they passed it through all of their five hands, like yes. You were saying.
Okay, yes. So it's passed three hands at least. And each person who's owned it has like done a lot of research or just lived through a lot of stuff. And over the course of this episode, ladies and gentlemen, for you, we're going to be unraveling the dark, long, wrinkly tale that is Skinwalker Ranch.
Thank God.
This is a doozy.
I thought you were going to say Morgan Freeman's Ding Dong.
Nope. Like I said, northeastern Utah. It's at the...
Have you been there?
Yes.
No, you haven't.
I know.
Do you want to go there?
Not anymore.
No. But,
well, actually, yeah, I do want to go see it.
But nobody can, because it's a bitch that owns it, man.
Well, let's get to that. But first, it's at the southern edge of Navajo Nation.
What's Navajo Nation?
I don't know, man. I think it's like their nation.
They got a nation of...
Navajo, yeah. But the history goes back really far because the Ute people arrived to Utah in the... They arrived to Utah and the Navajo arrived in the early 1600s.
Oh. So they were trying to like do some land grabbing? Some ass grabbing?
There might have been some ass grabbing. They were some slaves and people that sold slaves, and it was not a good time to be a Ute or a Navajo. But they had a lot of fighting. Apparently, the Navajo were kicked from the land.
Literally.
And the Navajo allegedly cursed the ground the Utes were on, which happened to be that like basin area that Skinwalker Ranch is on. And
well, there was a big war, right, between the natives, those two.
Was like, it?
The Utes were, I think, selling the Navajo into... not. They're selling. They're capturing Navajo and selling them to as slaves to the white people.
That's weird, because I read that the Navajo were more aggressive and warlike, and that they were selling the Utes to slavery.
Well, maybe it depends on which tribal website you go to.
Probably. Probably.
They both say they captured each other.
Maybe it was both of them.
Yeah. But the Navajo are the ones that cursed the land when they got kicked out.
They're like, those skinwalkers are going to get you. Yeah. If you guys don't give us your land. But no, they actually might have cursed it. And that would explain why everything happens on that ranch that does.
The Ass Grabber Ranch.
So one thing you should know about northeastern Utah is that it's a pretty arid climate. Has hot, dry summers and cold-ass, snowy winters.
It's a hotbed and an ice bath.
It has a lot of mountainous terrain, primarily consisting of the Uinta Mountains.
The Uinta? What are Uinta?
Mountains.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, nailed it.
Which are part of the Rocky Mountain Range. It features high elevation valleys with significant snowfall.
Yeah, it's very high elevation.
And cooler temperatures compared to lower elevations, which makes sense.
Does it?
It's very logical.
Sound like an astrophysicist. Like saying,
warm is warmer than cold.
You should be an Anchorman.
The basin areas between the mountains tend to be drier with more extreme temperature swings. So that's the layout of this place. Utah, it's the land of the Mormons, land of the brave and the free and the weird. And
the creepy. Skinwalkers. There's a lot going on there. It's like a party tent, party state every fucking night.
I gotta say, I'm still on the run from the Mormons. They've, as I speak this podcast, Dane and I are hiding out because the Mormons have been coming by and they've been looking for me and they will not leave me alone.
It's because he accepted a fucking Bible.
I was being nice, man.
Because there are these two cute girls. No. I was like, I'll take that book right off your hands.
That's not why I was just being nice, man.
I think it was. I think he's planning to write his phone number in the Bible.
Regardless,
now
I'm stuck here in my house and I can't leave because they're watching my place and they're listening to us talk about him right now.
Yeah, he's pretty much Snowden. Like, I have to go to the grocery store by myself.
I'm Snowden.
Get a list of things he wants, and I have to fucking bring it back for him.
Anyways, Utah. It's a arid, dry ass, kind of cold place.
You can't say Utah without sounding like a rancher or
Utah.
A hick. Utah.
It's just fun to say, guys. Give it a try.
It sounds like a word that Matthew McConaughey made up.
So, this place is this ranch in northeastern Utah. And I gotta say, even as far back as 1776, like I was saying, Franciscan missionary Sylvester Velez de Escalante...
Get out of here.
...documented a historical account when he wrote about strange fireballs in the sky while camping in El Rey, which was a close place to Skinwalker Ranch.
In El Rey?
Wow. Yeah, which means the king. So, even from that time,
this missionary was put in a weird position, right? Is that what you're saying?
He was put in missionary
he
position.
Was put in a position he's not familiar with.
And he saw some fireballs coming at him. Some big old fiery balls.
Right up in his face.
Right up in his face. From, I don't know how that'd work, man.
And he liked it.
Maybe I don't understand.
He was never into missionary again.
But repeated sightings of human-like creatures have led some to invoke the name Skinwalker to the ranch. And I gotta say that the Navajo, what a skinwalker actually is, technically, according to them, maybe, it's a shape-shifting character from their folklore. And they're like werewolves or evil witches who can transform themselves into the creatures of their choosing.
Yeah, they're usually male too, which is funny because they're witches.
You can be a witch man.
It's called a warlock.
Anyways.
That's terrible.
Dana, why don't you take it away? Where does this story begin?
Edith, god damn, I can't remember. Well, you had this other couple who owned the property from 1934, I think, to 1994. So they were there for like 60 years. This married
Wait,
couple.
60 years?
Yeah.
Man, they must have liked that probing. So I'm sure they saw some action on that ranch.
Well, maybe that's why they never left.
Maybe.
They left the gates and the doors unlocked all the time and the sheets off their butt cheeks.
The sheets off their butt cheeks? Wow. I've never heard it said like that. But it's good, man. You've coined a new term. They slept left the sheets off your butt sheets.
they slept in the nude every night, even when it was cold.
They didn't know what clothes were.
No, this couple owned it for 60 years, and supposedly they never reported anything strange.
Because they were into it.
No. It's interesting because the family after them, so he passed away in 1987.
Were they blind?
No.
Okay.
And then she, God, I wish I remembered their names. She passed away in 1994.
Edith. It was Edith.
Edith and another dude. Oh, Kenneth.
you're shitting me.
Edith and Kenneth?
Yeah.
Myers? Yeah, they were the OGs of the farm.
And that's how Fred Myers got its start. A lot of probing, a lot of ranchery stuff going on.
Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street stuff. So she passed away in 1994, but they abandoned the farm in like 1992. So it was vacant for like 2 years.
Wait, they abandoned it?
Yeah.
Because I thought they liked it.
They did. But he died in 1987.
Okay.
And she was already elderly, so she had to move out into a home.
And they didn't have any kids.
Well, if they did, they were moved out.
That's
so
interesting.
The farm vacated, and then this, I think it was her, maybe her son or something, who took the property into...
son or something.
Some fucking relative man named Garth.
Wait. You're telling me Kenneth, Edith, and Garth? Are you fucking with me, Dana?
No.
Okay.
I didn't make that connection. All right. But
continue.
That's very Sherlock Holmesy of you. He sold the property to Terry Sherman in 1994. And that's when the crazy shit started happening. The Sherman family is consisting of Terry Sherman, his wife Gwen, and their children were ranchers who lived on Skinwalker Ranch from 1994 to 1996.
Only 2 years. That's how crazy the story is.
I think it was
is.
Under 2 years. It was like a year and a half.
They lasted 18 months on this place.
Yeah, they didn't like the probing. While little personal information is widely available.
Okay. What are you saying, man? Is this a test?
No, I feel like there's some paranormal stuff going on my document.
Yeah, that's like what old people say, Dana.
The words are changing as I'm reading.
That's like what old people say.
Basically,
there isn't a lot of information available
on the Shermans.
Say it one more time.
There isn't a lot of information available on the Shermans, despite their experiences. That's kind of much like all you know about them.
Is that you don't know anything.
It's all speculation bullshit. So,
like everything we talk about.
But their story has become the central lore of Skinwalker Ranch due to the bizarre and terrifying events they supposedly endured. Supposedly.
Well, their stories are fucking crazy. In fact,
he's a good storyteller.
If you look at all of the stuff that's come out about Skinwalker Ranch, the Shermans, the people who owned it, these people who owned it from 1994 to 1996, they experienced more supernatural stuff than all of the other investigations spanning like 2 decades combined.
Are you betting to wish your life on it?
Yeah.
Because I'd call them the Un-Sherman family, man.
What?
I don't know.
I think you're unsure.
Well, I'll tell you a story. Tell you a story. So day one, they're moving in, unloading trucks, pumped about this big 500 acre ranch.
It's got so much room for farm. Aerobics.
Yeah, I know. Man. They can do whatever they want. They can, you know, have cocaine, meth, cannabis going, everything. And nobody's going to find out. So they're excited about that. And while they're unloading, Terry notices a wolf off in the distance. It's slowly Marie.
Slowly what? What does it slowly do? What does it slowly do?
No, while they're unloading, he notices the wolf in the distance and it starts coming towards the homestead.
Coming towards the homestead?
The homestead, not set.
I said homestead.
You said what I said. You just said home. You shut up. He notifies the rest of his family to be cautious and aware of the wolf. As Terry continues to watch it snake towards them, kind of winding towards them cautiously. But
like a snake.
But like it doesn't care either. As Terry continues to watch it come at them, he notices it's very large. And he can tell this because it passes by this fence that has like posts every 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And he's able to estimate that it's about 6 feet long.
Damn.
With the tail. So this is like your Jacob Twilight size
wolf.
Yeah.
Wow. Big, big one.
And so the whole family, Terry's dad is there, his wife and two kids.
Terry's dad? His dad's there with him?
Helping him move in.
Damn.
Probably just hoping to get some money for weed or something. They stop what they're doing and they remain transfixed on this wolf as it's coming towards them because it's just a weird sight, you know?
It would be weird to see a wolf snaking towards you all slow-like.
Yeah, and it gets closer and closer, and finally to the point where the wolf is close enough for Terry's father to instinctively reach out and pet it.
Wait, why would his father instinctively pet this wolf coming?
Because it comes up to him like it's domesticated.
What?
It's not growling or anything. It comes up to his dad, and he starts petting this big fucking wolf.
So his high dad starts petting this wolf coming up to him like it's a big pussycat
teddy bear.
What the hell?
Yeah, and it's rubbing up against his dad like a dog would.
Oh, that's weird.
And the wolf seems to like not care about the family or that they have, I think they have weapons, but they're just stunned at the sight. And
yeah, of their dad rubbing up on this wolf. It's a crazy sight to see.
Bestiality about to happen on. Yeah. So it's kind of gets distracted and leaves his dad and keeps walking into the homestead area or towards this enclosure, which has a calf. Its head is sticking out through the bars and it suddenly like just snaps its jaws around its head and tries ripping it out of the cage. And
it's not nice.
They're like, what the fuck? And suddenly they thought, you know, they thought they made a friend. And so I think his wife or his dad starts hitting it with the back of an axe and they're throwing rocks at it and screaming. And then Terry, he whips out his Colt 357 and shoots it like three or four times. And yeah, he says it.
Terry's a stone cold killer, man.
It didn't phase the wolf. It
didn't phase.
It kept like fucking trying to rip this calf apart. He said that it hit the wolf, but you know, maybe he didn't. He was just embarrassed to say he missed all four shots.
Could have been. I'd probably be a pretty bad shot.
So
my calf was in the mouth of a giant wolf, I'd be scared. Like screaming. The back of
your calf.
Back of my calf. Yeah. So he shoots at it, he misses, or he hits it, but nothing happens.
Yeah, so it doesn't give a fuck. And so Terry runs into the house and gets his 30-06 rifle.
His what?
His 30-06.
What's an aught?
It's aught just means zero, pretty much.
Oh, okay.
It's a 30-06 rifle, which
thanks
is
for explaining.
A nice, it's a, yeah, it is weird. People say 30-06. It sounds like something your grandpa says. Huh?
Yeah.
30-06 rifle, which is a good hunting rifle. And it could, if you use it right, you could take down moose, brown bear, elk. And yeah, he comes out, but by this time, like the wolf, it's kind of bored. So it starts walking off into the wilderness and he takes another shot or two at it with his rifle, which he says hit, and it still didn't go down. It just walked off into the woods.
I wonder if it actually hit it, though? Because he keeps on saying it hit it, but it's like, didn't it, though?
Well, he's saying it hit. But if that's the case, it's interesting because there's no blood trail.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So right as it disappears into the woods, he's like, okay, we gotta fucking kill this wolf. Like, we have livestock. It's like our bread and butter. And so he grabs his son and is like, we gotta hunt this thing down. So they track it into the forest. The fucking whatever this is, woods.
No, plains. There's no woods. Yeah, you track it up into woods. The rocks.
No, not into the rocks. There's some woods around there.
Are there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or high grassy areas.
You say so.
They followed his tracks into the woods and came to this muddy area, and the tracks just stopped.
Whoa.
And he's like really confused and frustrated because they were on its tracks and then they just stopped, like it flew off.
I think this is just revenge at this point. Like, the wolf is leaving, it's gone away, and he's just like, nope, we gotta fucking kill a wolf. Yeah. It just took a bite out of my calf, and that ain't cool.
Yeah, so that encounter was interesting, right? What'd you think of that?
Do you think he
handled it well?
Yeah, wild. So that sets the stage. But the Shermans, they weren't one to shirk at scary stuff.
Shirk?
Yeah. They would not be feared away, frightened away.
They would twerk at scary stuff.
They would not be frightened away by this one.
Twerk the whore away.
By this one big wolf. So they stuck it out, right?
They tried to stick it out, but it was like, obviously it didn't last long because things got worse and worse. Like, I forgot to mention, when they moved into this place and they first saw it, like, Terry and his wife, they went there to check it out probably.
Wait, they saw something else there?
Well, they noticed some stuff, but they didn't think much of it.
Like what? Like a big alien?
No. They noticed that every window in the house had a deadbolt lock on it, and every door in the house, not just the front and back door or doors leading in, every door between rooms had a deadbolt on both sides. So you could really lock down the house if you wanted to, like section it off room by room. Right.
But then I would just think the people who live there were kind of nuts. And
that's what they thought.
We don't know if they're not either.
That's what they initially thought, was like, there's this couple living here before us and they are alone and paranoid maybe. So they took extra precautions to keep burglars out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, huh, so this place is like kind of a fortress in a way. So they didn't think much of that when they bought it. But as time goes on, they start to realize why everything has a lock on it. And they actually started using them. The stuff they encounter, it's like it's a fucking movie, like Signs. Like, it just amps up higher and higher until they're not sleeping at night.
What else has happened on this farm once they saw this wolf scenario happen?
So basically, after the wolf appearance, they get settled in there, and it's a little bit of time goes by before his wife starts noticing something weird. And she thinks it's her memory at first. So she goes grocery shopping one day, brings it back, leaves everything on the counter, takes it out, puts it away, and goes into another room for like half an hour or something, and comes back, and all the groceries are back in the bags on the counter.
You know, I feel like that's something most people say. Like, oh, I swear I folded my clothes and put them away. I swear I put away those groceries. And then you walk back and you're like, no, you didn't. It's a common thing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting on you for that sometimes.
I'm just being a devil's advocate here, like I always am.
Like, those, I swear I did those dishes in their sink there. I swear I did them. Yeah, I don't know.
It's so weird. It must be an alien invasion,
man. You know what? I think they're your dishes that you didn't do.
I think an alien came in here and made himself a peanut butter jelly sandwich and left it in the sink.
You would say that. And but, expect me not to fucking care.
Okay, so her memory started to go.
That's what she thought. And then another occasion, she was taking a shower. She put her towel up on the hook, got in there, came out of the shower, and the towel was gone. Hey, don't laugh at her, man.
Wait,
she might be listening to this.
Her towel was gone?
Her towel was gone.
Oh, then you just got to shake it out. You got to shake it all dry.
but, jump up and down.
Yeah. So the towel was gone. Hmm.
The towel was gone.
So we're supposed to believe an alien snuck in there, stole the towel, left.
And then they got up to the window and they got their eyes looking through at her coming out.
And then
out
they filmed the whole thing. But it seems like a reach, doesn't it?
Yeah, the towel. Yeah. It's a reach because...
And the groceries. Like, the alien saw everything she took out and took it out and put it back in the bag.
But it's not a reach if it's... So... The towel went missing. She came out. She got another towel, obviously. She didn't air dry like you're saying. I know that's what you wanted. And that's what the aliens wanted, too. But she found that towel that she had picked out, and it was in a closet on the other side of the house.
Why would she look on the other side of the house for her towel?
Because maybe that's where the towels are kept.
Well, then it would make sense that it'd be in there.
The point is, she found it, and it was way far away. So. Okay.
So
this seems like, you know, not a big deal. These aren't aliens like a big deal at all. They're doing like really novice level pranks.
Yeah, like hiding the remote in the cushions type of shit.
Like, that's such
the cupboards open.
Annoying prank to put all of their groceries back in the bags after they were put away.
Were they also leaving the toilet seats up, Dana?
So no, her account by herself, it sounds pretty lame and not very alien. But it kind of lines up with her husband.
Yeah, let's hear from Terry now, okay, Gwen?
Yeah, Terry, he was out one day digging fence posts every 6 feet or something like that with this post digger.
Yep.
But it was like a 70 pound piece of equipment. And he was out there digging away, and he decided to take a break and either go inside and get some food or go check on another part of the farm. And when he came back, the tool was gone. And so he went inside the house to ask his wife and kids, like, have you seen my tool, my digger?
My fence digger.
Have you seen it? And they said no. So he went about his day. And a week later, he's on another side of the property, patrolling it, I think, with his dog. Mm-hmm. And he notices the post digger 60 or 70 feet up in a tree.
What the fuck?
He's like dumbfounded. He has no idea.
Oh my gosh. This makes sense because they were saying in that show, Skinwalker, The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, that they don't like to dig. They don't like when you dig on Skinwalker Ranch. You better not dig. Don't you dare dig. Don't even think about digging.
That's exactly.
Someone's gonna get hurt.
That's exactly how they sound like.
That's interesting. So he dug and then his digger went missing in a tree.
That is interesting. I didn't make that connection.
Well, we're making them now. Yeah. So that happens. Are you gonna tell me some actually like scary stuff though, or is this all gonna be about little pranks?
Well, no. I think he's just they're both trying to be logical about it. Because they don't want to admit that there's something paranormal. They just bought this property that was cost them $200,000 in 1994.
Shut up. $200,000 in 1994. Okay, I guess that makes sense. I was picturing these people in like way older times.
So that's probably double that at least in today's market.
No, now that Skinwalker Ranch has the fame it does, that place is probably worth like way more now. Way more.
Like 20 mil?
Probably not that much, but like definitely more than like 2 million, I'd say. Just from the history side of it.
Well, 200,000 actually sounds like a bargain because they had 500 acres.
Yeah.
That's why they were pumped about it, because I don't think they were super wealthy people, so they got this ranch on a deal sort of thing. Garth gave it to him for a deal.
Wow.
Anyways.
Thanks, Garth.
So after some more time goes by, he starts noticing these lights at the end of his driveway at night. And for a while, he thinks they're car headlights. People getting lost on the road and then turning around. One day, he's just fucking annoyed with like the stuff going on, and he goes out there with his rifle and his dog to investigate the lights. And as he gets closer to these two lights, they start moving backwards away from him. And he notices there's no engine noise. There's no truck sound or car noise. They're just slowly moving back as he's walking towards them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they raise up and go up in the sky and disappear.
I'd be like, hell no.
Hell no?
Nope. Nope. And then I'd go home. That's terrifying.
So after that occurrence, he's sitting on his front porch and he sees this orange orb in the sky, way off in the distance. And he pulls up his rifle that has a scope on it and he looks through, and this orb, he describes it as like a portal. It's opening up in this oval shape, and he can see this blue sky in the middle of it.
Like at night.
At night, he sees this blue sky coming through this orange orb, like he's looking into another world or time. And then these black creatures start crawling through the portal.
What kind of black creatures?
Kind of lanky looking creatures are crawling out of the portal and then running into the bushes.
Like Slender Men.
And he said that there was also this craft that came through the portal.
Jeez.
But by this time he saw this weird ship thing in the forest, he had also had cattle disappearing that would wander off. The tracks would stop. Like it was picked up.
That's scary. And not nice to have happen on your farm.
No.
You're trying to enjoy your iced tea on your porch and you got big slender men coming through portal, stealing your cattle. Gosh, taking your digging tools, unpacking your groceries after you put them away.
So around the same time that he saw this orange portal, the family started experiencing these big black entities scurrying around their house at night. They said that these figures would put their hands against the glass and try to peer into the house.
There's some peeping Toms is what you're saying?
But they said they had no faces. So it's just like a black mass where their head should be.
Jeez. Sound like Babadooks or, I don't know.
Weird shit like Stranger Things or whatever. And so, but that's the...
Would he go outside and try to shoot these?
No, he's too scared. So they'd all huddle inside, kind of like Signs.
Dude, I'd run out with my gun and be like, let's go.
There's no way you would stay there if that kept happening. And then, so after that, like, the orange orb was kind of the scariest thing between that. But after that started happening, there was these blue orbs that would show up. I think he said they came through the orange portal. And these things, they said, were the scariest part of the whole experience. Because they made, when it would get close to you, it would make you feel like this intense fear and anxiousness.
I did hear this.
Like you wanted to like crawl out of your skin.
Wow.
And you were just paralyzed by fear. And then when it would go away, you'd be fine. So, yeah, they supposedly experienced a fuck ton of things going on. The cow, they had a cow that was mutilated too, that was cut up with like almost laser precision. The blood was all gone. Yeah.
Well, that happened a few times actually.
Yeah.
Like they had at least 25% of their cattle taken out.
Jesus.
Which is crazy because that shit ain't cheap.
Holy cow.
Holy cow. And some of them, like you said, went missing, but a lot of them, they found the like weird surgically removed pieces and the bloodless bodies just laying around their farm.
That's disturbing.
It is. Cattle mutilations. It's something that's pretty common as far as like UFO stuff goes.
Yeah, especially in that area, like all the surrounding states, like Colorado, Oregon, New Mexico, like all these areas, Nebraska, they have cattle mutilations going on. It's interesting. And they haven't really caught anybody. I think the FBI investigated a little bit. They said there was like 10,000 cow mutilations. They said a lot of them, they could explain it. Several thousand, they couldn't. But almost always, the blood is gone. It looks like the cow was like vacuum sealed from the inside.
Like a vampire.
Yeah, something sucking the blood right out of them. And their organs are missing sometimes.
Well, after they experienced enough of this, the Shermans were like, screw this. We got people peeping in our windows and all this other manner of wild shit going on our farm.
Shenanigans.
The Sherman shenanigans, yeah. So they decided to sell it And at this time, they were talking to a lot of people, right? Weren't you telling me they were talking to people? And word was getting around that they were experiencing some wild shit on this farm.
I don't know who they were talking to, but I know by near the end of it, his wife lost her job as a banker because she wasn't sleeping. The kids were failing in school. He was going insane. They're all sleeping in the living room on the floor. So it was time to sell.
They were truly tormented by the stuff happening on the place.
Supposedly, yeah.
So they decided to eventually sell it. And Terry Sherman and his wife, Gwen, they shared their chilling story with a local reporter in June of 1996. It attracted a lot of attention, and within 3 months of the story's publication, Las Vegas real estate magnate. He was not a magnet. He was for UFOs, though.
He's a money magnet.
Enthusiast Robert Bigelow.
International gigolo.
I've heard that he's likely spent more money investigating the UFO mystery than any person in history. Which means that, one, he's got a lot of money.
And he's wasted a lot of money.
And two, he's willing to throw a lot of it at UFOs.
And what did they find?
Well, let me tell you.
How many tax loopholes did they find?
He spent tens of millions of dollars over 30 years investigating this stuff.
That's so funny.
He not only gave financial support to individual researchers, but also established his own think tank.
Think tank.
The National Institute for Discovery Science, or NIDS, NIDS.
That sounds like nerds to me.
Well, that's what it was. Because these stacked researchers and scientists from the top universities around the world have, I don't know, okay, maybe not that.
They all came to the ranch and like slept over together in the same trailer.
One thing that's interesting is that Robert Bigelow, when he got this ranch and when he established NIDS, he made it a point to go out and find scientists that were very skeptical of stuff. So he'd make it a point to find the people who were the least likely to be believers of UFO and to get into it and be like aliens, you know?
That's what he says, yeah.
So he heard from Terry Sherman himself what had happened on the ranch, and he was like, you know what? This sounds like a budding opportunity to research into everything paranormal, and so I'm going to buy this place. And you know what, Terry? Because you know this place, because you have quote-unquote backyard experience of this ranch, we want you to stay on, and we're going to pay you, and we want you to consult and be a part of this investigation.
Are you sure?
And for the first bit of it, Terry did.
I thought it was the other. I thought Terry offered to stay on because he wanted to help out.
Could have been that, too.
Like
tomato, tomato.
No. There's a big difference there because...
But you would think if he was terrified and shell-shocked, he'd be like, no, you take that place and I'm getting the fuck out of here.
That's what I mean. That's what adds skepticism to me of why Terry would offer his help and assistance on the ranch.
Robert,
if it was that fucked up. Because he knew it. That was his idea, is that these scientists had no way or how to run a ranch, how to protect themselves, how to use a fucking gun. Right.
But Robert Bigelow said that he talked him into, he said the agreement was that he stayed on. So take that how you will, but he set up, Robert Bigelow set up round-the-clock surveillance of the ranch, hoping to get to the bottom of the paranormal claims.
Yeah, he put surveillance in the bathrooms too because he's a sicko.
That surveillance led to a book called Hunt for the Skinwalker. Science Confronts the Unexplained at a Remote Ranch in Utah. And in that book, several of the researchers claimed to have seen paranormal activities, but they were unable to capture any meaningful physical evidence.
They had cameras pointed at every inch of that farm,
supporting the Shermans' incredible stories. But
they didn't catch Jack.
One thing I gotta say about this ranch is that Robert Bigelow said that people will not believe the fact that this ranch had a sentience, meaning when you had the cameras pointed at a certain area, nothing would happen. They set up spontaneous photos in different places that would just go off randomly, and the cameras were blacked out at certain depths on pictures, meaning it would take pictures and it would show like the first 5 feet in front, and then the rest of it would just be black.
Like something was in front of it? Is that what they're suggesting?
Yeah, and in addition to that, they caught tubular rods, which...
Tubular.
Flying by, they caught lots and lots of orbs, especially around sick people, and I'm talking thousands, thousands of orbs.
Sick, bruh.
So, yeah, Robert talked to him.
Robert the
doll. To Terry. And he was blown away by the diversity of the encounters. And like I said, Terry stayed on with the investigation because Robert thought he might have like really important stuff to share with them.
Yeah, I think he kept using the ranch despite Bigelow owning it. Like, I think he still stored his cattle and shit there. And his wife would come out to the ranch and help him out.
That's funny.
And there was... one cow mutilation there while NIDS were on the property.
Yes, that brings me to another thing, is that when Robert bought it, he brought on two people, Bud Hopkins and Linda Howe. And Linda Howe was specifically known for investigating cattle mutilations, and she would do tissue samples. She would look at hemoglobin. And she was trying to see if there was any high heat used, like lasers, to cut these super accurate incisions into animals. Into like, in fact, she actually released a documentary in 1980 called A Strange Harvest. And it was about cattle mutilations and the government's supposed role in covering up all of these things happening where these cattle have their organs removed. And... it's crazy, man.
The mud pie.
The way Robert, because I watched an interview with Robert Bigelow, and he said the ranch literally sent him messages. Like, it would communicate to him, and he could communicate back, but it often sent, like, really tricky messages, and it would, like, appear to just fuck with them. Because they're all nerds. Yeah. And that's what you do with nerds, man. You fuck with them.
That's what you do.
Robert said he got very disturbed. And I watched an interview with this guy, and he seemed very level-headed.
I think he's insane.
He got really weird at this part of the interview, and he said he got disturbed towards the end. Something that happened to government people on the job really unsettled him.
Did they get probed?
No. What it was is called the Hitchhikers. What this means is that he said that the phenomenon you experience on the ranch would follow you home. And so he said that a lot of the researchers who were prevalent on this thing, working, like taking measurements and spending a lot of time on the ranch, they would go home and they would start to experience some weird shit happening in their life, totally almost unrelated to the ranch.
Like their groceries would get put away for them. But it was just their wife.
I don't know exactly. He wouldn't say. I think he was trying to like...
they found poop on their toothbrush.
He was trying to titillate us, but he was just saying that...
he likes titillating.
It went with you home, and that these researchers had awful things, some of them, happen to them.
I like how vague he is. Everything about it. It's very vague.
I know. That's what makes it feel like this weird sort of nonsense... nothing burger. But I will say that while Robert owned it, allegedly, he was contacted by a scientist working for the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency. And that led to a Pentagon secret project that was directed at the type of phenomenon that they were experiencing on the ranch. So there is something here. Is it something... like we think? Maybe not, but it's big enough to interest not just the U.S. military, but other international governments.
Yeah, I think there's actually proof that the military or FBI tried buying the land a few times.
Yeah, at the very least, just to like put a lid on it for what people are seeing.
Like, even before the Navajo put the Skinwalker curse on it for the Utes, there was supposedly some weird shit going on there that the natives said was going on, you know?
No. No, I don't.
No.
What do you mean?
Like, it predated the Skinwalker shit.
Oh.
Like, that the natives thought it was like a sacred land where there was sort of weird stuff going on even at their time, so they would avoid it. It was like a special place, but it got tainted with the Utes. So then they
tainted
it. They put a curse on, and then it got more fucked up.
Wow. Well, I gotta say that their stuff didn't happen as crazy as like the Shermans, but there were a few things that happened while Robert Bigelow was doing research that just kind of blows my mind. One thing was that on the night of March 12th, 1997, when the ranch had already been sold off, there was this biochemist, Colm Keller, and he was working with Bigelow's National Institute for Discovery Science, the NIDS. He claimed to see this really big humanoid creature looking at the research team from a tree. And as he detailed in The Hunt for the Skinwalker, the creature was approximately 50 yards away, looking at the team safely from a tree perch that was 20 feet off the ground. They said that the creature sat motionless, and the only indication that the beast was present was the penetrating yellow light of the unblinking eyes as they stared fixedly back into the light.
That's creepy, isn't it?
It gets crazier, though.
No way.
So, Keller, he fired at the creature with a rifle, and it disappeared. And then, this is in quotes, "It was then that I saw it, a single, obvious, oval track above 6 inches in diameter, embedded deeply in the patch of snow. It looked unusual, a single large print in the snow with two sharp claws protruding from the rear of the mark, going on a couple of inches deeper." So he's saying that once they got there and it had disappeared, it looked like a bird of prey, like a raptor print in the earth.
Like a claw. Like a bird claw?
Yeah.
Like a big old bird?
But that's probably like the craziest thing that happened.
That's interesting, because the story I read, that whole scenario sort of happened, except Terry was the one who shot at it.
Huh.
Yeah, somebody's fucking lying, man.
Someone is. Someone's taking credit.
Terry, yeah, he spotted it, and the whole NIDS team saw it, and he shot at it, and it disappeared for them never to see it again. I think Terry's trying to steal the show. Like, I think some weird stuff happened while Terry was on the ranch with the NIDS team, but it was usually wherever Terry was at.
Yeah, Terry was
and
the magnet.
Terry would call it in and be like, shit. "Some shit, crazy shit happened to me where I saw this." I just wish they had like some kind of live body cam they could put on Terry so they could see if what he's saying is even real.
I know. That's a good idea, actually. So Robert bought it in 1996, and 20 years later, he resold it. I guess what happened was they just weren't finding enough stuff. Like, they were finding abnormalities here
and
there.
Wait a second. He sold it in 2016?
Yeah.
But I thought the whole operation shut down in 2004.
I think it did.
But he kept the property for
another 12
years.
I think he must have kept the property, but they like didn't find anything, and I think you're right, around 2002 they shut it down.
He had to stop paying all the scientists.
Yeah.
That was getting expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after that happened, around 2016, the ranch was resold to Adamantium Real Estate to this guy.
This fucking Superman villain, Adamantium.
this guy
looks like a little kid who was bullied to death, and then he became a badass.
His name is Brandon Fogel.
I thought it was Fugle.
Did I say Fogle?
You said Fogle.
I meant Fugle.
Is it? I don't know. It's maybe Fugle. It is Fogle.
It's Fugle.
Okay.
Yeah, Adam Brandon Andy. Fugle, and he's like this loaded dude.
Like, he's like a real Bruce Wayne. He really tries to be Batman.
I think he bought the ranch specifically for them to shoot a history TV show about...
Not history, reality TV show. It's sensationalized.
Yeah. No, it's the history is the network.
Yeah, it's...
History Channel.
Run by History Channel now.
Yeah. They've done a show called The Secret to Skinwalker Ranch. And if you guys haven't seen it, do what you want. Do what you want. I enjoyed it.
You should watch at least the first episode.
It's funny. It's like...
It's not scripted at all. It's all real. It's all real. There's a guy named Travis something. Travis.
Yeah, brought this guy, Travis, who was...
He's an astrophysicist with a bunch of PhDs under his belt. He talked like that. He's like real fucking smart.
Was his name Travis
Everything
Scott?
Crazy. Travis Scott? Or Scott Travis?
I don't know.
Travis is in there somewhere.
He was hired on by this guy, Brandon Fugle, to pretty much do what Robert Bigelow
did. Pretty much just bullshit through all four seasons.
It's interesting. Like, they get all these researchers together, and they're like trying to find stuff, but all of their experiments just seem really like...
They're all really technical experiments you don't fully understand, and it's all this crazy data they're getting.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it doesn't tell you anything.
Right. Like, it's like... Why don't we strap this laser to this cat here and have him run up over the pass there? And those lasers will dance around and point.
Let's put this bottle rocket in Eric's butthole and make him run.
Yeah, poor Eric.
Up the Rocky Mountains.
Eric is the observational researcher that was there for like the longest.
Yeah, he's a real tiny guy.
And like...
Very defenseless.
It's sad, man. Like, if he ever comes across an alien that...
Man, if he comes across a turkey, he might lose, man.
He might lose. Yeah.
Like, this show, it's entertaining. It's kind of like almost any show that's covering... Almost any show, like... Destination Truth, Destination Unknown, anything that's covering history that's trying to uncover more truth than we already know, they usually, more times than not, unfortunately, don't find stuff, but they're trying to, but they still are able to make the episodes entertaining.
Right.
And it keep you watching, and it is somewhat entertaining.
Like, there's this one episode.
There's inner drama.
There's this one episode where they're flying around in a helicopter, and you can, like, see it's windy because you can see trees moving. Yeah. And they're like, oh, my God, it's an invisible force pushing down on the helicopter, and we don't know what it is.
And the helicopter's, like, weaving around.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell he's, like, fucking up the helicopter on purpose.
There's this part where the cameraman in the helicopter cockpit is, like, shaking the camera around. And at that point, I was just like, oh, my gosh, this is all about the sensation, you know. This isn't about science. And in the show, they were like, none of these accredited, like, newspaper journals or science journals will publish our work. And I'm like, well, if you look at the show, like, you guys kind of just, like, milk every little thing, and you just make it into, like, this weird, crazy, crazy phenomenon about everything. There's just this, like, lack of due diligence, you know?
I mean, it's tough when you have a billionaire who's behind everything and he's trying to make money, but the goal is truth and discovery. But you can tell, you can feel how scripted it is, and it sucks because you want there to be some fucking truth, not just like, let's dig into this rock and, oh no, we're hitting a hard part. Well, I guess we go back out of there.
Yeah,
I guess something hard is in there. I guess we don't know. And maybe it's a big old ship, but we ain't going to find out.
Yeah, exactly. And like, even just getting them to dig, they're like, no, we don't dig. Every time we dig, Eric gets a hemorrhoid.
He gets an erection.
Like, we don't dig because something bad happens every time.
He gets the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, I get the heebie-jeebies when you dig, so you just cannot dig.
Yeah, he said, every time we dig, something bad happens, and I just don't want to go through that again.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say what happens.
Right. Like, and it's like, it provokes something. It provokes something bad. But it's like, what are you guys doing if you're not there to provoke and measure? And I was like, give me a fucking shovel. I'll go out there, man. I'll dig. I'll fucking dig a hole everywhere. I'll dig all over the place.
Yeah, he'll be all Shia LaBeouf up in there. Yeah. Digging holes.
Yeah.
Finding sploosh. Yeah, it's too bad. The whole show, if it was summarized, is like watching somebody fish every episode and the fish bites and they reel it in. And there's nothing on the line.
That's like literally sums it up.
Every fucking episode. And you're like, oh yeah, something. And then it's nothing. And then at the end of the episode, they cast it back out in the water. And you're like, oh God. Like, oh, we gotta watch the next episode.
Yeah. Well, we got a new experiment. We're gonna tape laser to all of our dicks. And we're gonna all run up there. And we're gonna dance around.
We're gonna have an orgy on the top of that hill.
Yeah. And we're going to see where the light dances, and maybe it'll call in an alien. Maybe it won't, but we'll see.
All we know is it likes Eric's bow.
Yeah, Eric.
You're going to have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
What were you saying the other day? That they'd, like, put Eric out in the woods for Dog Man and rub a bunch of peanut butter on his butt and be like...
Tie him to a tree?
Yeah.
I did say that. And... they pretty much have to leave him like 5 miles or a couple miles away in order for it to work.
See, man, I think they should hire us and we can design the
experiments. I think we can make Brandon Fugel's show so much better. Like, we would really take it in a direction he doesn't expect. Nobody does.
As we wind this down, what do you think, Dana? What do you think is going on there? What do you think's happening?
I think it's like a playground for aliens.
Eric's butthole is a wonderland. That's what the aliens supposed to do.
They're probing them good every night.
Bought some new underwear. Bought a thong today. See how the aliens like that. Yeah.
No, I think that the Skinwalker Ranch is a pretty convoluted, is that the term, where it's kind of got bullshit there. Like, there might be some truth to the stuff going on, but I feel like in the last 10 to 20 years, it might be mostly fabricated bullshit.
Well, they have like a few lights here and there.
I think it's tough because most of the cool evidence and everything is word of mouth. There's no hard evidence really to anything except mutilated cows, which could just be a wolf with really sharp teeth, or people trying to fabricate a hoax like Terry. So everything weird seemed to happen when he was around. I don't know. Maybe he was trying to be famous and create this story to sensationalize everything and make money.
Perhaps.
But predating him, it is weird that the land was known to have weird stuff happening with the Navajo and the Skinwalker curse. And it is interesting that if Terry and his family only lasted 2 years, why did the couple before him last 60 years?
Because they liked it. Now, yeah, if you guys have ever been there or you know anyone that's been there, please let us know in the comment sections or just like send us a message and let us know your experience, because I'm dying to know if anyone has been there and, like, what have you experienced? Is this all BS? Have you been probed?
I think that about wraps it up now. Yeah.
Let me just say, because I haven't already, this is Mayan.
This is Dana.
And thank you guys for joining us on this episode of Best Worst Case Scenario Podcast.
BWCS.
Remember to like and subscribe, and if you really enjoyed the show, consider checking out our Patreon, where you can become a member and help support the podcast.
Shenanigans bullshit.
The podcast stuff happened.
So, yeah, rate the show on Spotify and follow us and subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah. Stay safe, cover your butthole, and God bless America.